welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Monday, and that means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Always great when Sandy Williams is in the studio. Always great. And you can join us again at 844-967-2789. I got to remember to say this. You're tuned in to 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the show. You know, Sandy, 54 years ago today, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. And as you can well remember, 1968 and the times, that year is epic in history in this country. And, you know, it was something new with assassinations that was happening during that period of time. And for me, I was 14 years old, and I was watching, never will forget it. Dr. King was my idol. I watched him and marveled at his intellect and the fact that he was such a young man, you know, taking on the weight of the world on his shoulders, traveling in places where his life was always in danger, in the South especially, during those periods of time. And I felt like he was speaking for me. And he was challenging the errors of our nation and the fact that our nation was saying one thing globally, but then doing something altogether different. And so I patterned myself somewhat after Dr. King, not from the standpoint that I was going to be a person who was going to put my life on the line, but as far as serving and helping people who, for the most part, and speaking for people for the most part who don't have a voice. And so I never will forget the speech that he gave the day before his assassination. He paraphrasing, you know, so tonight I'm not fearing anyone. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's tramping out the vineyards so the grapes of wrath have shorn, and then on and on and on. But he said, I'm not fearing any man. I'm not fearing anybody. And earlier in the speech, he talked about the ugly voice that he was hearing out of Memphis. Here he was, you know, had garnered all of this acclaim with the civil rights struggles and sit-ins and the bus boycott in Montgomery and gaining global acclaim. And then somebody called him to come down to Memphis and march with garbage collectors, right? And to march with garbage collectors. And he was told not to, but he said, how can I not? These garbage collectors were on strike. And so he went down and he receives, as he would say, some ugly voices, voices that he was hearing over the phones. And they were saying that if he didn't get out of Memphis, they were going to blow his brains out. And so I remember all of those things, and yet he stood firm. And that same, that next morning after he made that speech, he was assassinated. And so what I would say to you, Sandy, is 54 years later, I'm watching the way this woman, who is now almost sure to become the first black female Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Jackson Brown, and the pushback that she's getting from Republicans and conservatives who, when Dr. King's day floats around, you can't beat the Republicans and conservatives talking about, well, you know, Dr. King said, judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. You can't beat Republicans retorting that. on Dr. King Day.
Right.
But here it is a little bit later, and now they're totally against those things that he stood for. But Sandy, I remember where I was when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I remember where I was when Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. I remember where I was when Malcolm X was assassinated, and I remember where I was when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated.
You know, we lived through the 60s. I don't think people today can understand what was happening to America in the 60s. You know, JFK was the beginning of the unraveling. Yeah. You know, the assassination was an unbelievable shock. Something like that hadn't happened in America, that kind of political
violence. Who was the last president that had been killed before him?
Killed.
Or murdered. Yeah, McKinley.
McKinley. And people, you know, but this, that was a long time before. But, and you know, Teddy Roosevelt, and it, while he was running for office, was an attempt. But
right.
It was just like a shock, an unbelievable shock to our system. And then we end up with sort of a process during the 60s, slipping into the Vietnam War, LBJ, and then we have the civil rights marches. We have to remember that this man, Martin Luther King, who was such a towering intellect and such a clearly very brave leader, was being investigated by the FBI.
Yeah.
Was being slandered by the FBI, was trying to be controlled by the white establishment of Washington, essentially. I mean, he was swimming against an unbelievable current, and I don't think the American public understood the extent to which racism was embedded in our establishment to the point where someone like Martin Luther King would be viewed as an enemy of the state. But he was. He was being listened to on the phone. He was being followed. And then 1968 came along. I was in law school at the time.
Well, before you go there,
the
reason Dr. King was being followed and all those things by J. Edgar Hoover and others, as long as he was integrating lunch counters, that was okay. They were accepting that. But when he started talking against the war in Vietnam, that was what really opened the door, because he spoke against our involvement there. Like, you know, conversations you and I have been having about whether or not we should be involved in, you know, Ukraine. He was saying, listen, you guys had promised us, Lyndon Johnson had promised us that there was going to be a war on poverty. And this money was supposed to be coming, but once the Vietnam War started, the money didn't go to the war on poverty anymore. It went to the war on Vietnam.
Yeah, guns and butter.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but 1968 was such a traumatic. I don't think people can understand what it would be like to live through a year in which three major national figures are assassinated, and they're political, clearly political assassinations: Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and then Bobby Kennedy. And they happened within months of one another. I mean, it was a tight window of time. You'd pick up the newspaper and you'd almost felt like, I got to open the newspaper and see who got assassinated today. It was like anarchy, but it was, and the notion that there wasn't some connection, at least a societal connection with behavior like this, was hard to deny, you know.
You know, Sandy, there's never been another time like that in the history of our country. And thank God.
Yeah, that our country was literally coming apart at the seams. You know, that a year before that, and during that same year, colleges across the country were getting taken over by students with demonstrations.
Oh yeah. So we've got to go to a break. So hold the thought. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.